who are partial. And other devotees also killed demons and kings who were partial incarnations of demons, like Karna and Duryodhana. These demons and inimical kings were candidates for punishment in hell because they were active opponents of the Vaishnavas. But despite being destined for hell by the transcendental influence of Sri Krishna, they obtained liberation. In the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam 2:7-35, verse there. Many demoniac enemies fought vigorously either against the Lord Hari directly or against him under his name, such as Baladev, Arjuna, and Bhima. Among such demons were Bukka, Kesha, Palumba, Venuka, Arista, Chanura, Mushtika, and the elephant Kuvalyapia. Others were Kamsa, Kalyavana, Ondraka, Narakasura, and great marshals like Shalva. Still others were Rukmi, Bovala, Shambhara, Dantavakra, Vidurata, the seven bulls, and Vibhida, the monkey. And there were also great warriors like Kuru, Matsya, Sinjai, Kamboja, and Kikaya. All such demons attained either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or the Lord's personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Balaram killed Venuka, Vidina, Bhavala, and others. Pradyumna killed Shambhara, Mitrakunda killed Kalyavana, and Bhima, Arjuna, and other devotees killed enemies like the king of Kamboja. But actually, Krishna himself killed these demons. Krishna simply acted through the agency of his devotees to let them share the glories of his acts. Om jnana tamarangasya jnananjana shalakaya taksurumrutam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha vairagya yudbhakti visham priyatnai apayamamanabhipsamandam Kripaṅgurīyā paradūka dūkī sanākanastham prabhamāsriyāmi Sanchā kaupā tarūbhyaśca kripaśindhu bhayevacā satītānam bhāvanebhyo vaiṣṇavebhyo namo namā Śrī Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadvi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare So greetings from Ivysant or the Sun Falls. I'm here with Rati Krishna, came to help me for the weekend. I don't know if this is Krishna conscious, but I thought it was funny. I was in the afternoon for exercise. I take a 5-mile bike ride. And I was going up this one high hill, and there was a guy there on a unicycle. And he said, "Now don't get proud." So I kind of stopped, and then I kind of found out this is kind of a mixed kind of neighborhood, you know, it's kind of city types and also the local types. So this is one of the local types, lived around the block. And And I started to talk to him, and I realized he was kind of like the local kind of unofficial mayor, knew everything. He said, "Where do you live?" I said, "You know, around there." And then he said, "Oh, the Ready place." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I live in the back." He said, "He said, yeah, you're the guy in robes." He says, "Me and my friends call you the Grand Poobah." So people called me many, many names. So I guess I'm the Grand High Exalted Mystic Poobah of Stuyvesant Falls. But he spent about 20 minutes with me. It's so nice. You know, when you practice spiritual life, whatever the externals are, you actually develop the qualities that people admire. Even Prabhupada said, a man may be a drunk, but he doesn't want his son to be. So I can see it. That's, you know, that I'm not, well, who am I? But that verse, Dira Dira Janapriyo Piyakaro, that the six Goswamis, they were dear to both the gentle and ruffians. Prabhupada said we should be perfect gentlemen. But I can see, of course, it's the thing, I was wearing a pair of pants to drive the bike, so he always said, "I never saw you that way." You know? Then he realized it. But you can see that if spiritual life is to be shared, there's no substitute for personal development and purity. Because spiritual life means to become to the mode of goodness eventually and transcend. But Shamodhamastato Saucham Shantir Arjavam Avacha Gyanam Vijnanam Astikam Brahma Karma Subhavajam. That the qualities of a Brahmin, a person who is the qualities of a Brahmin, a teacher, is shamodhamas, peacefulness, shamodhamas, tolerance, self-control, simplicity, honesty, etc. And it's really what people appreciate. So I think the locals now, the word's going to get out that the grand high exalted Mystic Poobah, who lives in that barn behind Steve Reddy, he's a good guy. The guy really had a great time with me. You know, he was really, he said, we'll go buy somebody one day. he even told me, the guy was so aware of the community, he even told me every unleashed vicious dog and where they live. In a different house. Like I told him, I don't walk anymore, so I ride a bike. He's going to tell them. Anyway, back to this wonderful story of Narada Muni's search, his deep search, and it should be our deep search, because there's nothing more important than self-realization. And those who are the best people to help us, not even by talking to us, just by being in their presence. And the more advanced you become in spiritual life, the more you seek that out. And this is the most important desire that we can cultivate for good association. And Narada not only wants good association, Narada wants the best association. And as we know, he, in his search, each person he meets naturally wants to deflect the praise, because an advanced soul is not egocentric. He does not want to stand in the center, looking at others in relationship to his own desires. He wants to be on the periphery, looking at others in terms of their desires. And that's a Vaishnava. So the praise part doesn't attract them. It actually can disturb them. And they deflect it. But here they try to deflect it honestly to a devotee who has a more intimate relationship with Krishna. So we're getting a very nice, progressive understanding of bhakti. And now when you come to the Pandavas, it's the first time you come to Krishna. Because Krishna is God manifest in intimate love. It's the side of God that's manifest in intimate love. And the side of God that's manifest in intimate love is his fullest manifestation. God and God's himself, Swayam. It's also original, the original personality. Original in the sense, the full. Because God's full, he's eternal. When it's fully manifest. So, when the Pandavas deflect the praise, Yudhisthira then, now we hear Narada's point, why they're so great. And the reason they're so great is because they're with Krishna. And that means that they have very, very intimate love. I picked out from one of the purports here, previously, a point which I think is probably the key to this whole section, and maybe even the whole book. It says, Krishna is superior to Lord Nrisimha, Lord Vamana, and Lord Raghavendra, and therefore the Pandavas are superior to Sri Prahlad, Bali, and Hanuman. They're superior because the manifestation of God is superior. It's more full. And therefore, they have more mercy. And therefore, their love is purer and more intimate. On that absolute platform of perfection, even on the mundane level, a mother's love, a romantic love, the romantic love is perfect. There's more intimacy, more revelation of heart. But still, you know, the mother's love can be perfect. So that's why we have this contradiction when we explain spiritual terms of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. It's to show both that there's a gradation without diminishing the previous level. Because what's the previous level? It's perfect. Perfect means there can't be anything better. But yet there's something better. But yet there can't be anything better. So it's perfect, more perfect than most perfect. So now we're coming to Krishna, and because the love brings God close. Even Narada is feeling distant because of his relationship. I always tell that story. Some of you may have heard it or not. I remember it clearly. My father's a very nice man, and he liked some formality, which is good. But I remember he was sitting on his chair, and I was coming down the stairs. The bedroom just went right into the living room. And I told, you may have heard the story, and I said, "How are you doing, Wally?" "Oh," he said, I'm not your friend, I'm your father." And I said, "Okay, Wally," and then I just like ran out. So that he wanted distance was not a reflection of lack of love, it was a reflection of love in a particular way that he could offer and that I would need. So you don't want a more intimate relationship with someone, you don't want to have the conjugal, you know, you want the appropriate relationships, and they're perfect. But it's distant. So even Narada's relationship is perfect, but it's distant. He didn't walk down and say, "How you doing, Kana? I am not your friend. I am your master." "Okay, Kana." Distant. And therefore, that kind of love that we saw, the example was given of the milk ocean where they're praying. And it was with reverence, distance, duty, well, mechanical a little bit. The voice came, the full person didn't come. So, and when Pandavas expressed that I don't have any devotion compared to Prahlad, and we know that in Narada, and this is me, Rajasuya Assembly says, "What do you mean? Your devotion is the best." Because there's intimacy, he's come close. He didn't just stay on the throne to smite you. He didn't just stay distant. He became so close that he became subordinate to you. That's a reflection of love. That's a reflection of love. Love is service. So when God is attracted by intimate love, he even serves his devotee. Even. But he needs the right atmosphere to do it, because if the others are around that want him distant, then he'll have to stay distant. Because he also has that relationship out of love. The father, you know, the brother. He can also be distant, but he's also intimate. So he doesn't mind taking either of them. So Krishna can also stay distant, but he can't be intimate. He can't display his intimacy in the assembly of people who require that distance, because that is their relationship. Just like my father, he couldn't display intimacy in other relationships before me. I'll give you an example. One day, same time, I walked down, you know, they're having a party in the house, as people do. I went to the refrigerator, and someone said something kind of to my father, you know, it was like, I couldn't repeat it here. And then my father tried to cover it up. You know, it wasn't appropriate to me, that joking that he was having with his friend. And he couldn't have that relationship with his friend in my presence who required him to be formal and distant. The same thing with Krishna. That's why when Radharani came to Kurukshetra, Krishna should not be satisfied, because Krishna had to remain distant because he was in the role of a king, and he couldn't come down from that position and display himself as Radharani's lover in a public setting. He couldn't be Krishna, and Radharani was feeling great separation. So this is the gist of this particular part, which is very sweet. So I'm going to go back a little bit, and I think today we're going to cover quite a few verses of Narada's ecstasy of describing the supremacy of Krishna, and therefore why, implied is therefore why the Pandavas must be the greatest. Please just hear what I have to say. Krishna gave the gift of liberation only to a qualified few, and this has always been the rule. Oh no, before Krishna gave liberation only, and this has been the rule. So before, in his other incarnations, that was the rule. Liberation was very select. Commentary, and then it's going to describe, when we go through these verses today, text 15 through 24, Narada traces the cause of the Pandavas' superior devotional position, the special influence of their worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna. So we're going to see the influence. And what is the influence of Krishna? It's his heart. It's his beauty. And that has an effect, just like in this world, when we see beauty, it may have an effect on us. When we see greater beauty, we may be attracted. Desires may come. Transformation in the body may come. So Krishna has influence by his beauty to capture the mind. And therefore, one who dies at the hands of Krishna dies with his mind captured. And there's nothing else in his consciousness but Krishna. That's how beautiful Krishna is. So now he's going to explain. Kalanemi Haranyaksha Haranyakashipu Ravana Kumbhakarna and others were killed by the Supreme Lord, but none of them received liberation. And pure devotional service was given to no one but Prahlad, who received it from the incarnation of Nrisimha. So, being killed, he's saying, by other avatars, that's God without that influence. They're fully potent, but the potency is not manifest. They're God, but the full beauty is not manifest. And therefore, their association doesn't have the same result as Krishna's. And therefore, as it's said here, only in the pastimes of Krishna were the demons liberated. Vishnu rarely gives liberation, and in terms of pure devotional service, Prahlad got that blessing. But what a demon Prahlad was. I don't know. Some of you may also have heard this story. I used to love sharing spiritual life with others in New York City. I just went to the Indian Embassy, and I forgot what street that is, but it's at the end of Central Park, going downtown, where you make a right. And you can cross to the you can cross from 59th Street to the other side. So I was walking there, and a guy in regular pants. I remember what he looks like. With his shirt, and he's carrying, you know, a Bhagavad Gita or something. And I was walking from the embassy to visit Mercedes, who used to live in the West Side. Some of you may remember her. And he came, you know, he came up to me and he said, he was a Christian. He came, he said, you know, you want to know who your Krishna is? I'll tell you who Krishna is. He's a demon. And then he quoted the Bhagavad Gita verse where Krishna says, "With demons I am Prahlad." So, Prahlad's a special demon because he's a vibhuti, a power of Krishna. And so Prahlad got pure devotion. And that's rarely given. That's rarely given. But here it says it was mixed with the tendency to cultivate knowledge. And that means mixed with the understanding of who you are worshiping, which is God. And again, that kind of understanding brings one from the heart to the head. This is who I'm dealing with. What is the proper way to do it? And what are the mistakes I could make? And then there's fear. And it's part of the love. Right? My love for my father can be a little fear. Right? What is the proper way to deal with him? Right? There's always on the platform of spontaneous love. Okay. Verse 18 and 19. You may hear the incarnation of Lord Raghunath bestowed pure devotion upon a few. Guha, Hanuman, Jambavan, Vibhishan, Dasarath, and the blessed Sugriva. But in relation to those devotees, we never hear of praying the utmost stage of pure devotion. So now, Ram is even than the creators, Vishnu, Narayan. It's even a little bit more infinite. It's a little bit fuller manifestation. Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, Dasarath, you know, it's a little more. But still not at that level of full beauty. Full openness of heart of God. So he says later, a few got. But and the purport, they were not finite living entities, it says, but they were eternal associates. They're infallible. They didn't need to rise to that level. But still, there were a few personal dependents who were jivas, who from that association got pure bhakti. They got anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanadvita, no jnana, no karma. But only a few. And these were the friends and devotees. But never the shudasya praying. So, again, this is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. But sometimes prema, just love of Godhead, pure. But prema here, it's not just Shuddha Bhakti. It's something more absorbing, which is in relationship to Krishna. Because you can't have pure devotional service. You can't say Narada doesn't have pure devotional service, even though, or Prahlad, even though it's mixed with this understanding, this is who I'm dealing with. Let me fold my hands. I better not make any mistakes. You know, what should I do? What should I not do? Let me stay a little bit distant. Let me not get too close. It's still pure bhakti. Because all those calculations are how I can please. But it's not the forcefulness of love of this Vishuddhasya praying. And Ram can't give that. Never. We never hear of it. That those devotees had that level of love with Ram. Because that's not Ram. Ram is the king. Keep your distance. Even with Sita, there's some rules here. Go away. Right? I'm a king. Krishna breaks the rules. Ram follows them. Krishna doesn't care. Well, you know, Krishna runs away in the middle of the night with with so many of the gopis. He's breaking the rules. He's supposed to be in bed by 8 o'clock, and he stays up until 4 in the morning. He's breaking the rules. With the wives, of other men. Look at Ram and turns to Sita. I'm sorry, I can't be with you anymore. Because I'm the king. It's a very important duty. And there can be no questioning in my position. I have to be above reproach. So it's different that the Shudasya Prem is never given. But now so many persons have been granted liberation, made devotees, and filled with pure Prem, all by your maternal cousin. Yudhisthira, by the son of your uncle, Vasudev. So many. It was so selective that no one got it. And very few got pure bhakti, what to speak of the Shudasya Prem. But now so many are getting it. Because Krishna is so irresistible. And not only are so many getting prema, and by the power of his glory, demons fit for hell have become immortal after being slain by him or by such companions as Arjuna. So now it's not only that Krishna didn't kill, that the it's not only that Krishna gave the Shudasya Prem to so many, where Ram couldn't give that, and Ryan practically couldn't give pure bhakti when it comes to the world somehow. But even the demons are getting it. So what is the influence of this Krishna? What is the influence of this Krishna? Let me have the sound. You listen to it? You can hear? Okay. And here, so it says, he mentions all the demons, but despite being destined to hell, by the transcendental influence of Sri Krishna, they obtain liberation. He gives a whole list from the second canto of so many different people. And sometimes it mentions, when it says Krishna killed them, it mentions the devotees. Because the devotees, they carry Krishna's potency. So the devotee kills. It's not they carry away here. But in this Leela, Arjuna in the war, when he kills and he's fighting, then because he's carrying Krishna's will, it's Krishna acts through them. There's also being killed by Krishna. This is not jihad. This is a war fought on the battlefield, fought on behalf of Krishna. Then it's Krishna's responsibility. Thoughtful sages like Vishramrita Gautama and Vishishta were intent on austerities, mantra meditation, and spiritual knowledge. They were intent on tapa, japa, jnan, pra, munayo, yatartha, sadhika. This was their practice, and they had various goals. These practices that they were this jnan, japa, and tapa with goals. And the goal is of most moksha. They went on pilgrimage. Sri Krishna mercifully inspired them to pray to him for pure devotion. Thus they attained it and became fully dedicated to his devotional service. So when someone's on a particular path, especially not the path of pure devotional service, you become very, very fixed in it. It's very hard to change. I know an impersonalist in the Association of Devotees for 30 years began to chant Hare Krishna. Just they were seeking the sweetness. They were feeling some lack. But once they got out of the Association of Devotees, actually chanting 16 rounds, back to their community, they changed to Om. Very hard to change. Because there's also a realization. There's a deep realization. These people are experiencing God through God's energy. They're seeing the consciousness of that absolute one being, which nothing is outside of. So it's a definite realization. Even before you achieve Brahman, if you can meditate on the pure material state called prakriti, there's infinite, almost infinite pleasure, actually, from really, you see, when you can really meditate, you get beyond it. Like, what is there? Everything is composed of the same thing. So you go beyond the externals, materially, and you get down to what atoms or something. And, you know, we may have something more subtle. So it's actually one thing. Everything's composed of the same thing. And when you get down to that, on that type of meditation, it's a profound happiness, and it's a realization, and you're convinced, and you don't want to give it up. So it's not easy to convert someone or for someone to be changed that has that kind of experience. Vishramita is an especially austere sage. The Po Divyam, the Enika Putta Satvam, Shidye Yasmad Brahmasokyam Panantam. The Po Divyam, Yenika Putta. Austerities are divine. Brahmasokyam, and they give unlimited happiness. Anyone who does the fast, you become very, very peaceful, actually, after the initial torture. You become peaceful. Gautam was an expert chanter of mantras, absorbed in spiritual sound, and Vishishta, a deep knower of spiritual philosophy. Prior to meeting Krishna, they were not pure devotees, but seeking success on the path of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, religiosity, prosperity, enjoyment, and liberation. Purified and inspired by seeing Krishna at the holy site of Kurukshetra, these three and other sages submitted a transcendental request, which has been recorded in the Bhagavatam. So then they go to Kurukshetra, and they see Kurukshetra, they see Krishna. And then when they see Krishna, Tasyadyate Darshimang, I don't know, Tasyadyate Darshimanindrim, Agogamarsha, Tirtaspedam, Ribikritam, Sudipakva Yogai, Utsikta Bhakti. Upahata Kaya Jiva Kosha Chapur Bhavadga Timata Vigahana Bhaktin. They tell Krishna, they meet him and they see him at Kurukshetra. Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sin Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service, and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam that the sages consider their audience with Krishna the ultimate reward for their accumulated religious achievements. Aware of their exceptional good fortune, they dare to ask Krishna for the favor of pure devotional service. In case Krishna might try to dissuade them, saying, "Why do you need devotional service? Just continue performing austerities as you always have," they reminded Krishna that in the past, the coverings of the gross and subtle bodies were transcended only by his pure devotees and not by impersonal ascetics. Every path is dependent on bhakti. Grace. And grace is not dependent on anything else. So bhakti is independent. Stavaras chattamo yogi gatas aru gatasaya shudha sattika bhavatya tatprema rasavartina. Even a mobile creatures and species covered by the load of ignorance, trees, creepers, and so on, have been raised to the consciousness of pure goodness. Now those trees and creepers are raining down a nectar sap of Krishna prema. So now, inanimate, and therefore it describes that plant life is generally supposed to be in the mode of ignorance. There's no passion, no goodness, it's ignorance. There's no lucidity and clarity in the vision of that soul. There's no desire for activity. It's ignorance. But the trees and creepers of Vrindavan, however, are pure devotees transcendental to the three modes of material nature, no more covered by ignorance than any other inhabitants of that place, that sacred place. Still, Narada follows the general idea of plant life by describing them as covered by ignorance. Then it says, alternatively, you can be describing plant life outside of Vrindavan in areas such as Hastinapur. And then he quotes Queen Kunti, who says, "All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance, the trees are full of fruits, the rivers flowing, the hills full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is due to your glancing upon them, Sri Krishna." So what is the influence of Krishna, even the inanimate? Although originally covered by tamagun, the trees and plants of Hastinapur flourished, achieving the highest treasure of love of God, because Krishna simply looked at him. So the Shudasya praying. Like Ramachandra is not even doing that. There's close associates. Krishna is giving it to the trees. The sub-animal species were uplifted to the pure consciousness called Shuddha-sattva, to which the Vaishnava is real Krishna consciousness. Or it says they just became manifest the symptoms because they became stunned, crying like this. 25. I'm going to finish it up today. This verse really concludes it. Hey Krishna Vratarasthasya Kimvanyo Purvadarsita Rupa Sodarya Lavanya Madhyascharya Tapara. O Krishna's brothers, how can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty, his effulgence and his charm be properly described? Features so attractive have never been seen in anyone else. How can you see? He's talking to the Pandavas, because they're cousins, or Krishna's brothers. How can the infinite wonders of his bodily beauty as a thought be described? They've never been seen. It's like you may see a person again in the office, but it's the real beauty of that person you've never seen. If they're a beautiful person, beauty is not just skin deep. If they're a beautiful person, loving and charming and sweet and reciprocal and compassionate and kind, that's what bhakti is. That's what bhakti is. It's not gyan, it's not tapasya. It's the heart. Sometimes it becomes confused, like in Gadadhara Sur Pundarik Yoginidhi. It's opulent. Because how is this a devotee? But then, when one verse from Bhagavatam was chanted, they saw how much love he had. It's a question of the heart. Commentary, why are liberation and pure devotion obtained more easily from Krishna than any other form of Godhead? Why? This I underline and I put three explanation points in the thing. Because he is supremely attractive. The beauty of his all-attractive features has never been seen in anyone else, not in the Lord and Vaikuntha, nor in any of the incarnations of Vishnu. In Narada's opinion, even to try to describe Krishna's unique beauty would be futile. So this is what's happening. The influence is the heart. The influence is the beauty. And that's what our influence will be. We want to share the legacy of Prabhupada. You have to share the knowledge can be there. But many people are giving knowledge very expertly how you're not the body. Very expertly. The bhakti is to cultivate that knowledge so you can focus your attention on Krishna and change your heart. And when the heart is changed, that's what's attractive. I know that at Kirtan, at Omega Institute, especially the last Kirtan there, Nanda and Vishwambar were playing the Danga on the stage, 1,000 people chanting and dancing. Kirtan, Krishna Kirtan too. Radha Ramana Hariba. Jayutal was chanting. Radha Ramana Hariba. Hariba. And I don't know, somehow even. Somehow Nitai Gaurai came in there, which was pretty interesting. But and you see that, and then Janaki and Achyuta Priya were dancing. They're always very well dressed, you know, which is also nice. And it's attractive. The music is attractive, and the heart is attractive. They have good hearts. So they will not be there. And it comes through in the smile. It's very attractive. Other things, great scholarship, great musical talent, you can be entertained. But real attraction is from the heart. Text 26, those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck with amazement. So also do his pastimes, his qualities, his pure love, his glorious virtues, and the place of his sports. So it's apurvata, never before seen. Apurvatrena tasyaiva yo vismaya vidayaka. Okay, am I still being heard? Okay. Pitalila guna prema mahima kela burabi. Those unprecedented attractive features of Krishna leave one struck. Okay. Maduram, maduram, madunam, maduram. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Commentary. Everything about Krishna is attractive, not only his physical beauty. Everything he does is playful and full of variety. His virtues like compassion are all perfect and unlimited. And he loves his devotees unconditionally as they love him. He exhibited all the traits of noble character, like concern for unfortunate persons and submission to the desire of his devotees. Sri Vrindavan forest and his other pleasure grounds also attract the hearts of all who enter. So the Pandavas and Naradas, addressed as Krishna's brothers, have certainly realized these truths and therefore most fortunate. I think that he had not descended in his own original world form. I think that had he not, the world would have never known his true identity as the personal ally of Godhead. Now his identity as God has been shown. He's appeared in all his splendor, adorned with his unique qualities and the varied wonders of his charming sweetness. Okay, so are there any questions? While we're waiting for questions, would anyone like to say hello?
Your mask? Jai Mahesh.
Jai Mahesh.
Samadhi Vaisnava Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Krishna. My question has to do with, we talk about the sort of highest level, or the most perfect, if you will, level of love between Krishna and his devotees is the conjugal mood, because the intimacy is the greatest. On the other hand, Prabhupada said that the best sort of analogy for love of God in the material world is a mother's love for her child, because it's pure. So my question is sort of, for example, Yashoda's love, is that more pure than Radharani's, but just not? I'm just trying to understand the tension between. Yeah.
I think in this world, the conjugal relationship gets so messed up. You know, that it's probably just not a good analogy to relate to selfless love. the highest selfless love we've seen exhibited is Ralph Cramden and Alice. Okay, thank you that you got it. Someone did that. But somehow or other, the selflessness of the love. I mean, in terms of this, Mother Yasoda was ready to run into the boiling waters of the Jamuna to save Krishna. And the gopis would give up their lives. So I think in the world Prabhupada gave that example I'm sure if there's a conjugal relationship that's pure and fully intimate, we also have the example of Sati, there, you know, this has so many political implications and has no way to be understood in the common frame of reference that I'm even afraid to use the example. But, you know, the example that the woman would enter the fire, like Sati and Lord Shiva, enter the fire, you know, that the pain of separation from the husband was greater than the pain of fire, you know, of that. And you know, so I would just say that, Prabhupada just gave it, an example that's most relevant in this world. You know, the love of the mother is most, it's the best example of selflessness, you know, in this world, I guess, that we can observably see.
Right.
Anyway, I have to think that that's what I would say. It doesn't really... It's something about the selflessness that's exhibited.
Right. All right. No, I appreciate that. Thank you for
Thank you. Nice question. It's good. Can anybody else like to say Hare Krishna, say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
This is Rasikya calling.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, that was just the sweetest class. Really going to a deeper understanding of the different moods. I really appreciated it. Thank you so much.
I think this Brihad Bhagavatam group, it's just going to increase now.
Yeah.
So I think we'll just continue with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Rasika. Thank you so much. Nanda Dulal, was that you in the background I heard?
Yes, Maharaj. I have a small question. You mentioned in the that only Krishna has intimate relationship compared to any other incarnation, and it's because of his beauty?
No, it's not because of his beauty. It's because Krishna is God. Then the intimate relationship is there. Krishna is God at home. You know what I'm saying? It's when God takes off the robes as the high court judge, goes upstairs and puts the briefcase in the closet, takes off the Brooks Brothers suit, it just becomes more beautiful. It's just what Krishna is. Krishna is God in that relationship, so he's more beautiful. It's not that, you know, Krishna's beauty made them parents, made them love. That's what they are. And that's and when Krishna wants that, that's who he's with. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. And I will see you next weekend.
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you. It's so nice that you're coming. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody like to just say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Vegavati. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Same here.
Thank you. Great. Thank you so much. Nice to hear from different people. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
That's who? That Henry?
Yes.
Oh, Henry, great, great. Just came back from the Rapiatra, I suppose. Very nice. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Madhava, oh. For that class.
Who is that?
Lalita Madhava Das.
Oh, Lalita. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Wow, this Washington, Virginia area. Henry and Nanda Dulal and you. Thank you.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else like to say hello? Shastra. Okay, still that mid-Atlantic. Very good. Thank you, Shastra. Who's that? I hear some Hare Krishna background. Who's that?
That was Madhava, Maharaj.
Oh, hey, Madhava. Nice to...
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Madhava. Nice to hear your voice. Very nice.
Hare Bol Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Mother Indrani. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you for bringing me back. I read all this. He had the book, and I remember every time I got through, I was in tears, and hearing again about Krishna in this way, it's strong. Oh. Thank you for bringing this back to me. And
great.
Making me want to cry out one day, oh, when will that day be mine that I can have the experience? But thank you so much. It's a wonderful hearing.
Mother Indrani, you just did call out, and we're all touched by that. Thank you.
No, thank you, my life.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Stella and Carl, thank you. Great to hear from you. Boy, we have such a nice Sunday. So many nice devotees. Great. Thank you.
Maharaj, this is Chandrasekhar Das.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
We're down here and preaching in Alabama.
Alabama. Huh? Thank you for coming on. Have I met you before?
Maharaj, I've never met you. I'm the director of ISKCON Prison Ministry, but I don't think we've met.
Oh, okay, great, great. Yeah, I heard about the work you've done. Thank you for coming on. Nice
thank you. Thank you for such a nice class, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. I feel honored that you're coming on. I heard so many people. Thank you. Great, wow. Anybody else like this? Okay, we can end now. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhaiva Cha Patita Nandabha Vaishnavedya Namaha. There you go.